Honestly, I love your critical comments. I really do. Perhaps this says something about me, but your hate mail inspires me. It is my North freaking star, dude. It has guided me towards this video, like such a beacon. Plus, I got a tip off late yesterday. Riddle me this, Batman. If you were a car maker, would you make a high-profile, high-range drink driver an ambassador of sorts for your new ute? Would you depict this person promoting your new ute inside a pub? Or might that just be a bad look? Personally, I wouldn't do it, even if they were viewed by some as a proper hero, given the clear, unequivocal link between preventable road trauma and high-range drink driving, the number of lives that have been ruined simply because some dipshit couldn't be asked calling a cab. I'm John Logan from AutoExpert.com.au, Newcastle cheap, Australia only, website, card. 20 sporting celebrities, one high-range drink driver. Who is it? You'll have to wait until the end, dude, because I am a proper bastard and context is everything. The story so far, Kia put a whole bunch of sporting has-beens, as well as some people I have immense respect for, such as Jessica Watson, Alexander Volonovsky and Dylan Alcott, in a pub, and they shot an appalling ad that spruiks their upcoming new ute, the Tasman, which I remain quite interested in. Is it going to be a Hilux killer despite its 2.2-litre diesel engine, for example? Or is it really just going to be more of an LDV sort of also-ran? The ad is emphatically crap. That is almost certain, personal opinion. A total missed opportunity. And I got a bunch of uplifting, outraged feedback from you in the comments about how it was predictably un-Australian of me to criticise the protected species of human we know as sporting legends. Has-beens? Question. Australian sporting icons, you mean? Space, full stop. The ad is brilliant and has Australian men, predominantly capital U ute buyers, sharing it with on social media and intrigued as to what the Kia Tasman will look open and drive like. As a teaser, it's literally perfect. Stick to reviewing cars, space comma. You're clearly an auto expert, not a marketing expert. Your man brand has taken a hit too. Comma calling Steve Waugh, space comma. Buddy Franklin, obviously not a proper noun anymore, space comma. Booney, space comma, ditto. Oki and Ash Barty, neither of which are proper nouns either, apparently. Has-beens. Hope your next car has somewhere to put your handbag. Space, full stop. Of all the emphatically critical comments I've received this year, this, I think, is my favourite. So thank you, Dan Canphoto, for your borderline literate outrage. I appreciate you pounding that keyboard, albeit with your thumbs. Perhaps Australian men are sharing it with on social media, as you claim. I too am intrigued as to what the Kia Tasman will look open and drive like. Perhaps we'll never know what any of that actually means. It is literally perfect, though, as opposed to just perfect. Agreed. But are these two things really literally different, or are they just different? I would argue that the ad is literally perfect for all the wrong reasons. I loved it. It's that fucked up. I have sat through more million-buck marketing car-maker bullshit than you've had intelligent conversations, dude. Not that hard, admittedly, but hey. Rest assured, however, my man brand remains invincible. Thanks for caring anyway. Steve Waugh, like, he's inoffensive. He's never been photographed in a gimp suit snorting, I don't know, Ready Rock out of a NRL player's crack, to my knowledge. So that's a plus. He is quite talented at hitting a ball with a stick, I'll give him that. But this is pretty much his contribution to human civilization. And I feel a sense of perspective is quite important on things of this nature. If you'd like to have a teepee in your trousers over any of them, surely this is a private matter for you and your trousers. Isaac Newton, Bernoulli, Pascal, etc. Not feeling especially threatened by stick-hitting boy from down under, surely. I'm sorry the education system has let you down. I'll take that up with someone in authority on your behalf. At least you had a red-hot go with your comment, Dan Can Photo. And sometimes raw enthusiasm is enough. Not in this case, I would argue, but sometimes. This report is sponsored by NordVPN. Get 4 extra months of Nord free now at nordvpn.com/AEJC. Cyber threats are very real, and we are all exposed to them every day. But you absolutely do not have to be the next victim. You need countermeasures, and that's what NordVPN does in the background. You don't need to understand it, you just need the protection. Data encryption, hidden IP address, everything locked down, nice and secure. Go to nordvpn.com/AEJC now. Grab the 2-year plan at a massive discount, plus 4 extra months free and an additional surprise gift. I don't know what it is. Let me know if you sign up. nordvpn.com/AEJC. Link in the description. You subscribe, you download the app, and you connect. One click later, your IP address is shielded and your online traffic is masked with NSA-level encryption across as many as 6 of your devices. Nord is, of course, the fastest VPN on the planet, and it costs only about as much as 1 cup of coffee every month to keep your data, your identity, and your devices secure. Your location will be masked, and this means you'll be able to access streaming and other services that might be blocked where you live. Plus, you can continue to watch your favourite content when you travel. You might even be able to score great deals on travel and accommodation, which are not offered at home. That kind of thing happens all the time. Go to nordvpn.com/AEJC now. Boost your online security and enjoy that discount plus those extra 4 months of free subscription time and that surprise gift. It's totally risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/AEJC. Link in the description. Thanks very much to Nord for sponsoring this report. Who's next? Ah, yes. Brenton L. 1746.
I don't think you could ever call Steve Waugh or David Boone has been. Clearly they both have achieved more with one of their batting hands than you ever will with both of yours. I remember watching your bald head on Channel 7 thinking, Jesus, you're a has-been when you have to do motor reports on TV. You know how this works in advertising. Did enjoy this report, though.
Thank you, Brenton L., for the mashup of insult and kind words. I enjoyed the insult more, for what it's worth. Pro tip, there's no E in David Boone. He's not Daniel fucking Boone's great-grandson. Dude, well done with the spelling. My bald head in particular, thanks you. By the way, your teachers tell me they could have achieved so much more had you only bothered to turn up a little more often. To your point, I am clearly a has-been. No argument there, dude. It doesn't get much more has-been than sitting here in my dungeon in these most uncomfortable adult diapers, screaming at a camera while the party, you know, rages outside. Only one is no longer invited, even if the wheelchair could make it down all of those steps. So yeah, as one, I speak with some authority on the issue of has-beens. But on your defence of Mr. War and Mr. Boone with no E, and by inference all other sporting has-beens in society, and for complete disambiguation by has-been, I simply mean those who have stepped off the summit of Mount Champion some time ago or were pushed off by others on the way up. I would argue that the term sporting hero is a frickin' oxymoron.
These people are all too often among the worst possible role models, and we idolize them inappropriately just because they're abnormally good at catching a ball or hitting something with a fucking stick or kicking it, whatever. This is their contribution to human civilization. At best, it's light entertainment. Here's an example mooted by Dan Can Photo from earlier. Buddy Franklin. He's in that Kia ad. According to Kia, he's an Aussie rules legend who kicked more than 1,000 goals. Imagine that. So yay! Ball kicking buddy. You go, girl. When it comes to getting a ball between two sticks with a foot from a really, really long way out, you rock, dude. On the 23rd of May 2013, the Age newspaper reported that Mr. Franklin apologised to a woman for towering over her, and he is a somewhat imposing chap, and reportedly screaming in her face in a Chapel Street bar. The woman, who the paper named as Nikki Roswell, accused Mr. Franklin of being drunk, heaven forbid, footballer in a bar, and displaying no respect towards her. And she claimed she felt intimidated. Go figure. I would probably feel somewhat fucking intimidated if he did that to me, but then I would not walk up to him in a bar and ask repeatedly for a dance. I would only ask once, and if he declined, I'd suck it up like a proper gentleman. Now, if a normal bloke like you or me did this kind of thing to a woman in front of witnesses, the cops would probably attend, and I would not be surprised if an AVO were issued or some other legal sanction, even if the woman's conduct were also somewhat inappropriate and or inflammatory in the circumstances. And there are obviously two sides to most stories, but hey, dude, this is the world we live in. If you can kick a ball really well between sticks, a former state premier himself will make excuses for your conduct on a major metro radio station and explain, if that's the right word, that the public often push sporting heroes way too far, almost making it impossible for them to go out and live a normal life. The poor pricks. On their six or seven figure salaries. Like, fuck's sake. Jeff Kennett did exactly that for poor little 120 kilo buddy on 3AW shortly after the intimidating woman in bar incident. What an awesome victory all round for dignified public conduct. Would I cast Mr. Franklin in an ad for anything? Probably kicking, but anything else? Probably not, because I fear he's insufficiently squeaky clean, despite his considerable ball-between-sticks kicking prowess. Now, who's next? Less than a month before the debut of Kia's appalling in-pub Tasman bullshit ad, Kia-sponsored Broncos ball kickers Pat Carrigan and Adam Reynolds apparently thought it was a quaint idea to have a good old-fashioned fight out in the street over something that probably didn't matter, like most alcohol-fueled street fights. They looked like complete chumps. They sent all the wrong messages to the kiddies, personal opinion, but still, these geniuses are deemed sufficiently admirable to represent Kia in an ad. Now, who will we do? Booney, I think. Booney's amazing contribution to civilization is that he used to be really, really good at hitting a ball with a fucking stick and then running quite a short distance in a stupid costume inspired by King Rupert the Inbred in the 17th century. Apparently, Booney did this more than 7,000 times. Like 7,000? That's Booney's contribution to civilization. Hashtag Australia. Now just think about that for a sec, will you? Everybody knows Booney. Booney. Oi, oi, oi. Here's a test of actual Aussie hero literacy for you. Do you know who David Warren is? How about Mark Lidwell and Edgar Booth? How about Lars and Jens Rasmussen? Not ringing any bells? Howard Florey, Graham Clark, Arthur Arnott, William Brain, Russell Strong. He was pretty good. John O'Sullivan, Jack Grant, Ian Fraser and Jian Zhou. Any fucking idea at all, dude? I'm just one of them out of all 14? Still no bells? This, in my estimation, is a national fucking disgrace. But you know Booney and Alfie Langer, right? Shame on us. Those names are all proper Australian heroes. David Warren was the scientist who invented the black box flight recorder. He made aviation immeasurably safer, and he brought closure to thousands of victims' families. But he probably couldn't catch for shit. Mark Lidwell and Edgar Booth invented the heart pacemaker. They saved thousands of lives. No word yet on whether they could hit the broadside of a barn with a fucking stick. Probably just average at that, I suspect. Almost a quarter of a century ago, the Rasmussen brothers in Sydney wrote the code that would later become Google Maps. You probably use that every day. And Howard Florey is the Aussie doctor who developed the medical application of penicillin. Imagine how many diggers he saved in the aftermath of World War II. Graham Clark invented the bionic ear. Arthur Arnott and William Brain developed the world's first electric drill. Russell Strong invented liver transplant surgery, basically. John O'Sullivan invented Wi-Fi. Jack Grant, a former Qantas employee before Qantas was totally fucked, invented the inflatable aircraft escape slide system. And roughly 17 fucking years before Buddy Franklin was allegedly screaming in that woman's face in a bar, Ian Fraser and Jian Zhao developed the world's first anti-cancer vaccine, which targeted HPV, which causes roughly 75% of cervical cancer. Sporting heroes are not heroes. These incredible Aussies, unknown ones, however, are objectively heroes. They are legends who changed the modern world. Many of them have saved thousands of fucking lives or improved the quality of life for thousands more. Their achievements are woven into the fabric, the general uplift of human existence. But they had only average hand-eye coordination, probably. Back to Booney now. Booney is, of course, very famous for another high score, isn't he? Only peripherally related to cricket. To wit, the 52 incredible beers he allegedly drank on a flight from Sydney to Heathrow to represent our proud nation of pissheads playing cricket in 1989. Mr. Self-Restraint. Forgive me if I seem disinclined to kiss Booney's ring. According to published interviews, Booney says he doesn't know if it actually was 52 beers. Apparently teammates kept track of all of that. In his defence, it is quite difficult to count after about, I don't know, 40 beers. Here he is, in a still provided by Kia, perhaps wondering if he could even polish off just 30 beers today before the shoot ends. That's what it's like being past your prime. You still feel like you can do it, but hey, the flesh is weak. Still, I feel he was representing our proud nation of pissheads right from the moment that seatbelt sign went off fatefully in 1989. You legend. I wonder about his inner dialogue, though, concerning participating in this Kia assignment. Did he say to himself that sitting here like that could be a bad look, you know, considering the 52 beer ballad he wrote for himself? Or did he just say, fuck it, she'll be right, I'm a hero? We'll never know, obviously. And finally, there is Alfie Langer, whose real name is Alan. Kia's very brief biography on him reads, rugby league legend and four-time premiership winner. This hardly does Alfie justice, in my view. To me, Alfie is the real star of this utterly shit ad, the glacé cherry on the icing on the cake of ultimate casting crap. Personal opinion. About 14 years ago now, at the tender age of just 43, so kind of past his sporting prime, but old enough to know a lot better, in my view, Mr. Langer, working as a skills coach for the Broncos, went to the Normanby Hotel in Brisbane to commiserate with teammates after a resounding 48-16 loss to the Warriors. C'est la vie, dude. While there, commiserating somberly, Mr. Langer saw fit to remove his clothing and dance a little jig in his underpants, with his vegetables barely concealed on the bar, as you do to regain, you know, a semblance of equilibrium after suffering such a terrible team tragedy. Aged 43. Such a role model for the young blokes. Like, dude, someone's got to show them the ropes, I suppose. Channel 9 found his conduct quite reportable at the time. Of course, these days, this kind of conduct lives on forever, and so perhaps it should, given what transpired next. I did search for information on what song motivated this remarkable conduct. Drew a complete blank, sadly. I do sincerely hope it was Dancing Queen, the 1976 ABBA pop cult classic. You can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life. Ooh, 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 ooh. See that girl. Watch that scene. Diggin' the Dancing Queen. Oh, yeah. Filling up quite rapidly now, I know. Jesus. Profound stuff, isn't it? Dancing Queen. I can see how it might motivate a grown man in his 40s to a state of undress in a bar. That's not funny. Let me know in the comments, dude. Who was hotter, Agnetha or Frida? I know this is a whole blondes versus brunettes can of worms we might be opening, but therefore it could get ugly. Correct answer, by the way, Frida, but both pretty hot. Now, after his inspiring semi-naked tribute to the Nordic Bolshoi, Alfie then, of fucking course, deemed it appropriate to get behind the wheel of his car. Dude, he was only intending to drive from Brisbane to his home on the Sunshine Coast, a distance of a mere 120 or so kilometres, mostly at freeway speeds, 43 years old. What could possibly go wrong? He's not like an ordinary person. He's a legend, according to almost everyone. No word on what he was wearing during the drive either. In my mind's eye, I'm seeing him driving in his dancing costume, singing along to Fernando or perhaps Mamma Mia, Here I Go Again. But he was probably fully clothed, playing, I don't know, Highway to Hell. Also a fine choice in the circumstances. Fortunately for ambient society, Mr. Langer was serendipitously pulled over by a police RBT unit shortly thereafter in the Brisbane suburb of Everton Park. So, well done, the cops. During the stop, Mr. Langer reportedly explained, if that's the right word, to the cops, that he had consumed only 8 or 10 4X pots and a couple of Red Bulls and vodka, like, no biggie. It was over an hour ago, and he'd done quite a lot of enthusiastic dancing since then. I don't think I know for a fact that he mentioned the dancing, actually. He probably didn't. I just made that bit up. Like, I do tend to sit here scripting a biopic in my head while, you know, those diapers fill up incrementally. Alfie blew more than 3 times the legal blood alcohol concentration limit. 0.156, to be precise, you legend. Always the overachiever. This is someone in a position of immense privilege, right? A legend, an icon, behaving like an abject, irresponsible dickhead. Personal opinion. I would argue that driving it more than three times the limit is also not something you can reasonably pass off as a simple mistake. Now, to me, having stood in a busy trauma centre for 72 fucking hours and witnessed the consequences, including going up and watching emergency cardiothoracic surgery, like the cardiothoracic registrar waves me over at one point. The theatre smells distinctly like bacon because they cauterise the incision on top of your sternum with a hot electrical wire. Bacon sandwich, anyone? I look down into a child's open chest cavity and I see his heart leaking blood where the impact with another vehicle tore a hole in it. Like, fuck's sake, dude. This is what drink driving is. That's what it does. Earlier, I see the parents shaking uncontrollably, unable to sign the surgical consent forms. Mum was coping a fair bit better than Dad, incidentally. 72 fucking hours, watching medical professionals endlessly meeting people just like this who are all having the worst day of their lives, seeing the battle fatigue in the eyes of the paramedics. And most of this trauma does not have to happen. People just need to make more grown-up fucking choices. Let's just say one drives home a bit differently after that kind of experience. And perhaps this has made me overly harsh in respect of people who behave like Mr. Langer did. Perhaps I should just lighten the fuck up. But to me, driving like Alfie Langer on that evening at more than three times the limit is effectively a declaration to society that you have not a fuck to give concerning the safety of others. Personal opinion. 0.06 could conceivably be an honest error of judgment. 0.156, not so much. Mr. Langer pleaded guilty in court. He was represented. He was fined $1,000, but no criminal conviction was recorded because the rules are seemingly quite different if you can kick or catch, and Mr. Langer can do both exceptionally well. Most people guilty of high-range drink driving are convicted. Outside court, he was quickly whisked away. He did not stop to issue a public apology. Reporters were there waiting. His lawyer told those reporters that Mr. Langer's guilty plea was his apology. To me, this conduct says even more about Mr. Langer and the state of his contract with society. Just a personal opinion. Speaking generally, sporting heroes, like many of them, seem quite happy to be public figures, right? But only when the crowd goes wild, you know? When they conduct themselves like shitheads, speaking generally, these brave, tough men seem to think that they're entitled to privacy, like they could just slink away. I would argue that they have given that right away. So basically, I don't give a shit if he's since become a saint. Couldn't give a rat's ass if Jesus himself noticed a profound change and invited Alfie up into the clouds to meet his sister and attend a big old orgy in heaven inside the pearly gates. Like, who doesn't want that? With a complimentary Uber angel home the next day, you know, just in case. Now, keep your outrage shirt on, devout Christian dude, okay? I don't seriously believe the real Jesus would ever do that. It's a joke. I just felt I was being, you know, a bit Captain Serious momentarily with the diapers at, you know, 80%. However, given the abundantly clear evidentiary relationship between alcohol, cars, and preventable tragedy, I find it absolutely fucking astonishing and not just a little perverse that any car maker would consider associating Alan Langer with the promotion of their new vehicle, especially inside a pub. Now, I get that Kia sponsors the Broncos and there's a bar named after Alfie in the Broncos Leagues Club, but fuck's sake, draw me the diagram, dude, because I'm not seeing a really good fit here. It does not make objective sense to use a high-range drink driver to promote a vehicle, irrespective of his sporting prowess, no matter how considerable. And he might be a great bloke. He might be genuinely sorry too. I really don't know. And it's kind of irrelevant. The guy is a self-confessed high-range drink driver who didn't even stand on the courtroom steps and apologise for letting down every one of those who idolise him. He's standing in a fucking pub promoting the new Kia Tasman. I find that emphatically offensive. You would have to be legally blind not to see how utterly atrocious the optics are on this. Dude, what the actual fuck were they thinking?